This is not my message. I read this message and the outline of this, and I thought, oh, that's good. It's good for us to give thanks. Give thanks at Thanksgiving. And I think there's seven or eight things here. We'll run through these. I think I put all the verses. I think I put everything in there for you guys. Now, you'll have to look up the verses. I was going to put those in there, but it was going to be more pages than four. So you'll have to look them up. But it'd be a good little study, good something for you to just kind of stick around somewhere. And maybe sometime this winter, whenever it snows a lot and you're not getting out a whole lot, maybe pull this out and make it part of maybe a devotional reading or something. And I believe it'll stir your heart. But giving thanks at Thanksgiving. There's really one verse, but we'll read more than that here in Psalm 92. I love this first verse. Here's what it says. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. By the way, this is a verse that Spurgeon used whenever he wrote his morning and evening devotion. And it out there on several Bible websites and all, and he has a devotional book called Morning and Evening, and here it is. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And that's kind of how he went through, and that's how he built that devotional for a whole year. So it's interesting whenever you read that. He says, and upon the instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, has made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. That is something. He says, Lord, you have made me glad. You've made me glad. Well, you know, there's a lot of people tonight that are looking for glad in a whole lot of places. There's a bunch of people that they took off from all kinds of activities. Many of them skipped church this morning because the Colts had a 1 o'clock game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And they drove up there and they painted themselves blue and white and whatever else, and they wore their jerseys and hooped and hollered, and man, the Colts were winning all the way until about 2.5 minutes at the end, and the Philadelphia Eagles scored a touchdown, kicked field goal, and beat them. You know, there's a lot of people this morning, they woke up with glad, but boy, they came back sad. Amen? Sad. There were a lot of people that walked into churches today all across the country sad. But they walked out glad. You know why? Because God can make us glad. That's what it says right here in verse number 4. It says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Well, then look back at verse number 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. I looked up that word good. And I root word and all of that. And it all came back to this. Good. Is good, all right? It's a good thing to give thanks. So there are a few things that we want to give thanks for at this Thanksgiving. So get your pen and pencil out, whatever you need on this right here. By the way, if you're not used to bringing a pen or a pencil, bring them, because every once in a while, I am organized enough to give you an outline. So be ready on those days. We've had an outline Sunday morning and Sunday night. This is a rare bird, I can tell you, all right? But be ready. Number one, it's a good thing to give thanks. And I don't know if these right here are in perfect order, but they probably are not far off. We should give thanks for our Savior. For our Savior. By the way, Amber, it's a 7-letter Savior, not a 6-letter Savior when you put the words up on the screen. I-O-U-R. 7, the number of perfection. 6 is the number of man. We don't want the world savior. We want God savior. Just free. That's King James for you. All right. So I have to teach her every once in a while. Tim, you have to do that every once in a while. You keep training her. All right. Yeah. Tim's back there. He's scared. He's shaking his head. I warned Tim whenever he married her. I said, man, I hope you're tough. Because she's a strong-willed woman. So. Wow, she said, give thanks for our Savior. Aren't you glad that Jesus saved you? I hope that you and I never get over Jesus saving us. And there's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons we ought to give thanks for him, because he was devoted to his Father. The Word of God says this, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was devoted to the Father. He was in submission to the Father. We should praise Him. We should give thanks to Him for His finished work. Whenever Jesus was on the cross, it says, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." That means paid in full. It is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. We ought to give thanks because He finished the work. We ought to give thanks for His saving power. The Word of God says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He can save from the uttermost to the uppermost. I love what that word in Psalm said this morning, that little word "come." You know, we see Jesus using that same phrase in the New Testament, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." It means come from any direction, come in any manner, and it says come from any distance. Wow, what a mighty Savior. We ought to, this Thanksgiving season, we ought to give thanks for the Savior. Because truly, you and I we're blessed. I don't know of another word, blessed. We just are truly blessed. Number two, we should not only give thanks for the Savior, but we should give thanks for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to use that. He's called the Holy Ghost more often in the New Testament than He actually is Holy Spirit. So that phrase is used more often. But now there are some things that we can give thanks for. This is not always something that we enjoy, but we ought to give thanks for His convicting power. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost keeps me, or does His best to keep me, on the straight and narrow. I'm glad that whenever I begin to stray, that His convicting power works in my life. The Bible says, and when He has come, Jesus is speaking, and He says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And the one part of that is He will convict us of sin because of the cause of Jesus. Because God wants you and I to be holy of His convicting power. Another reason why we can give thanks for Him is for His leadership. For His leadership. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Have you ever been led to do something that you were uncomfortable with, or you didn't know exactly why you did it? How many of you have ever done that before? You've said something, you've done something, and you know, just God just, you know what? You ought to give thanks because that's the Holy Ghost leading you. He'll lead you to do stuff. It's like me, last Sunday, I had planned on going to a different church and had already Googled it out and mapped it out and all. I woke up Sunday and I thought, as I was looking at it, I thought, I wonder, and then the Lord just kind of laid on my heart. So I looked for another one and one popped up that was just a few miles from me. I went, and those folks were such a blessing. And I want you to know, there's a group of people, Harvest Baptist Church, in, where's it at? Is it in Goodyear? Is that it? Yeah. As I was trying to remember, it was Buckeye or Goodyear. They're right next to each other. But in Goodyear, Arizona, that Fellowship Baptist Church is on their prayer list. And they're praying for us. They said that they'd pray for us on Wednesday nights when they pray for area churches, that they'll add us to their area church list, even though we're out of the area. And so that's a blessing. But you know, that was God's leadership. God led me. And the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Be thankful whenever God leads you in a direction you don't want to go, because that's God proving to you that you are His child. We can be thankful because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is producing fruit in us. You and I bear the fruit of the Spirit. We do not produce the fruit of the Spirit. Some people get confused on this. Listen, let me read the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, they're not fruits of the Spirit, they're fruit. These are different aspects of one fruit. These are different aspects of the Holy Ghost living in the life of the believer. These are not fruits that you and I can produce. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in fact, turn with me to Galatians. Let's look at that. This is pretty important. Galatians chapter number 5. It's just like sometimes whenever I'm preaching, and, you know, it's kind of going along, just like right now, I just got a sense that God wanted us to turn to this passage. Now, I don't know why, but maybe He wants us to explain a little bit more. Maybe we need to turn there. so that somebody can underline it or highlight it in their Bible. I don't know. But I believe that God has a reason for that. I love whenever I'm speaking, whether it's speaking to a crowd or preaching to the people of God, whenever God says, go there. And I want you to know something. The only way that can happen in the pulpit is if that's happening in the pew. In order for the preacher to be under the influence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, it's not just about his life being under the influence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. It's about your life being under the influence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever we in unison are following and walking with God to the best of our abilities, it'll be amazing what you will hear me say, even if I don't say it, because the Spirit of God will say it to your heart. And all God's people said, amen. You'll get things from the message that were never said, that may have been read and never emphasized, but the Holy Spirit will do something. If you and I will come hungry, God will feed us every time. But if we come not hungry, I'm going to tell you something. You will never be glad in the house of God. Come hungry. Pray for God to give you something from the service. Song service, fellowship part of the service, handshake time, preaching time, all of it. Fruit of the Spirit. Verse number 22, but this is a change of pace here because the verses before were talking about the works of the flesh, and now we're discussing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit is, not are. Fruits are. No, that's not the way it's laid out. It doesn't say fruits are. It says fruit is. These are all part of the fruit, like the seed and the meat and all of that in an orange. Okay? Here it is. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That fruit cannot be made up on our parts. I cannot just decide, well, today I'm going to be long-suffering and that's how it's going to work. No, how you produce the fruit of the Spirit is by yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. These aspects of the fruit can only be produced when the Spirit of God is living through the life of the believer. The believer on their own cannot produce this fruit. If they do, it's a false fruit. It's not true. It's literally a work of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of the child of God being under the control, being yielded to the Spirit of God. Plain and simple. You and I can give thanks for the Holy Spirit of God. You know why? Because these aspects of this fruit, many of these are things that I am not naturally. You look down that list, and some of us in this room, you may say, well, I'm kind of that away naturally, but are you all of those? All at the same time? Absolutely not. The only way I'm all of those at the same time is when the Holy Spirit of God is living through me. And all God's people said, can I tell you something? It's impossible to live for God unless we're yielded to the Spirit of God. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't produce this fruit on our own. We need to give thanks to the Holy Spirit because He enables us to live the Spirit-filled life. Number three, we should give thanks for, I put the Bible, fill in your blank and change it to this. My Bible. For my Bible. We should give thanks for my Bible. For its inspiration. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God's breath. It means it contains God's Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. If you don't have this written in the margin of the Bible beside 2 Timothy 3:16, you ought to, because the fourfold parts of the Bible, what it's profitable for is for doctrine, that's what is right. For reproof, that is what is not right. So for what is right, what is not right. It says for correction, how to get right. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God not only lays out and says, thus saith the Lord, this is right. Thus saith the Lord, this is wrong. And then he stops. But God says, this is right and this is wrong and this is how to get right. But then notice the rest of the verse. It says for correction and then for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. What is right? What is wrong? How to get right and how to stay right. That's the beauty of the Word of God. That's inspiration, by the way. And the verse that goes along with that is 2 Timothy 3:16. We can be thankful because of its inspiration, but also because of its power. Have you ever read the Word of God and a verse or a word or something just kind of jumped off the page and began to stir in your heart? Maybe a principle. You know, that's the power. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, it says, for the Word of God is quick. Boy, isn't it? You know, sometimes you're reading it and it cuts. Not only quickly, but sometimes it cuts right to the quick. It's quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because we are commanded to cast down imaginations, those things that bewitch us, those things that beset us. Those things are powerful, but the Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And the Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows why you did what you did. Yet He still loves us. But what that means too is God is not one for taking on excuses. We can thank Him for our Bibles because of its inspiration, its power. But one of the reasons I believe we can thank the Lord for the Bible or my Bible is for its message. What's the message of the Bible? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message. Amen. So we can be thankful for our Bibles because of its message. Number four. Not only for our Savior, but number four, we should give thanks for salvation. And you can put in there for my salvation if you want. That's fine. Probably personalize a little bit. For the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness and cleansing often goes along in the Bible. Jeremiah 33:8 says, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I'll pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. That's the forgiveness of sins. And then also the cleansing of sin. If you ask God for forgiveness, here's God's promise to you. If you ask for forgiveness from God for your sin, He forgives you of that sin. He'll never bring it up again. If it's ever brought up, it's either you bringing it up out of a sense of guilt or it's the devil bringing it up. So if you've committed a sin, and no matter how big or little it is, oftentimes we struggle with this concept, this principle, over the big sins in our lives that we've committed. The heinous sins, or maybe the sins against somebody, and we've asked God for forgiveness, but we haven't sensed that the person that it was done to has completely forgiven us, so we kind of live under a sense of guilt. Well, listen, if we've prayed and we asked the Lord to forgive us for our sin, and we've asked that person to forgive us of our sin, whether they forgive us or not, it doesn't really matter. We would like for them to forgive us, but if they don't, that's okay. I've done what I should do. But I shouldn't carry a load of guilt, because if I do, that just takes me into an area that I don't want to be. I don't need to be. That'll destroy my walk with God. So remember this. When you ask for forgiveness from God, He always gives it. If you mean it, you know. In fact, here, are you guys still in Galatians? I don't know where you're at. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John. This is where we're reading through for the month. If you're reading through the how to have a daily time with God. Now, 1 John chapter 1, Verse number 9, you probably have this verse memorized. 1 John, not the Gospel, the Epistle of John. John wrote the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John when he was an elderly saint of God. And he writes in verse number 9, it starts off, in fact, verse number 8, 9, and 10 start off with the same word, if. If. Verse number 8 says, if we. And then verse number 9 says, if we. Verse number 10 says, if we. But verse number 9 is the one I want to look at. Notice this. If we confess our sin. You know what a good definition for confess is in this context? It means to agree with God. And in this context, it means that I'm in agreement with God about what He says about my sin. My sin separates me. It breaks that fellowship with Him. Okay? If we confess, if we agree with God about our sin, if we confess our sin, our sins, notice this, He, Almighty God, is faithful and just. That word just, that's an interesting word there. Even though He is holy, and even though there's a judgment for sin, He still says that it's just in order for Him to forgive sins. By the way, you know the reason why we ask Him for forgiveness of sins and not some priest? Because we didn't sin against the priest. We sinned against the holy God. And the one that you sin against is the only one that can forgive you. Amen? And every sin that I commit is against the holy God. So I must ask Him for forgiveness. But notice the rest of this. He is faithful and just to, what's the next word? Let's all say it together. Ready? To what? To, for. There you go. Let's try it again. All right? Let's say it together. Ready? And He is faithful and just to, there you go, to forgive us our sins. And then notice the rest of the verse. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You go to God and say, God, I'm sorry that I sinned. I know that that's against You. I know that You told me not to. Lord, I even know that whenever I was doing it, You were convicting me of it, but I still did it anyway. And Lord, I want forgiveness for that. And Lord, not only do I want forgiveness for that, but I'm going to ask You to help me not do it again. You know what God will begin to do? He'll begin to cleanse you from that. He takes away that guilt. I believe that part of salvation is something we can be thankful for. Be thankful for the cleansing from sin. We can be thankful for the assurance of our salvation. The Bible says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. Do you know whom you believe? I believed in the Holy God of the universe. I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I am committed, I am persuaded that God will keep that which I've committed unto Him. What did I commit unto Him? The keeping of my soul. We should be thankful. We should give thanks for our salvation. Number 5, we should give thanks for our church. I apologize, I didn't start the timer on my tablet for this. So, I don't know how long I've been going. I think about 5 or 6 minutes. Time slows down for me up here. And I know for you guys it seems like an eternity out there. But we should give thanks for the church. Give thanks to God for our church, for its mission. I put the verse in there, Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What's our mission? To share with others. For its position. Our position is this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Satan's not going to destroy the church. He might destroy some of the individual church members, but he's not going to destroy the church. There are churches all across the world tonight that are meeting together, little and big. We should give thanks for our church. But we also should give thanks for our church because of its eternal glory. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. Number six, we're closing in on end. Ready? We should give thanks for the provisions of life. What has God provided for you and I? Jobs? Homes? Health? I'm going to put just a couple of them. We ought to thank God for food. For food. You know, there's a lot of people around the world today that are literally starving to death. You guys, whenever you scroll through Facebook, do you ever click on any of those clickbait things that it's like, see 31 things about North Korea that nobody ever knows? And I've clicked on those, and you know, it'll take you through 8 or 10 of them, and it wants to take you to somewhere else. But those first 8 or 10 slides are heartbreaking oftentimes. You know that most people there, they live on just a few ounces of rice every day. Literally, they're on the verge of starvation. North Koreans, on average, are 3 to 4 inches shorter than South Koreans because of generations of starvation. It's just amazing the malnutrition that's going on. But we ought to be thankful for food. Most of us, well, never mind, I won't touch on that, eat too much of it. We ought to be thankful for the provision of life for faith. Faith. A provision of life could be answered prayer. Oh, answered prayer. Number 7. Last one. We should give thanks for heaven. For heaven. Why? Because our treasures are there. So many years ago, they made fun of me because in one of my prayers, I prayed and I asked the Lord to, over the offering, I asked Him to take the money that had been given and convert those monies to souls. And I had somebody that laughed at me after one of the services. I said, "Well, that sure is strange you'd pray for that." I said, "Why?" I didn't see anything strange about it. Because that's literally what happens, isn't it? You give money, that money goes into various aspects of the ministry, whether it's for salary or lights or insurance or pumpkin pies or mission works, buying Bibles. It's all for the reaching of souls and for the growth. So literally, we're asking God to take a penny and convert it into a soul. You know, only God could do that. We ought to thank Him because our treasures are there. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, where thieves do thieves. Sorry, Steve. Where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, another reason why we can give thanks for heaven? Because our names are written there. Those disciples came back and, man, they were pretty excited. They had seen people healed. They had seen God do mighty things. And Jesus told them, He said, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Or something we can give thanks for. And then lastly, we can give thanks for heaven because our home is there. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May this Thanksgiving week we truly give thanks at Thanksgiving." God help us do that. Come on back Wednesday night. Come back Tuesday night, and we'll have a time of praise. We'll have a time of prayer, and maybe we'll sing a couple songs. We won't have a piano over there, but we'll sing anyways. Maybe, Brother Steve, we might sing something. And just enjoy that time together. We might even have some pumpkin pie, all right? And I know we'll have coffee. We'll have at least that. But come on out. That'll be Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll meet in the old building over there, and we'll have a good time doing that. I guess I'll need to send Dottie a message on Facebook and let her.